Hello, and all those who serve the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, sent by God to your house to declare to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Thank God. The word is nigh thee, even in your heart, in your mouth. It is a word of faith, which I preach, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, definition of the gospel. How that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein what? The gospel. Being what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. Well, if you have a Bible, I asked a preacher that once. He called me up, and he was mad at me. And he was telling me something, and I walked in the gospel of Jesus, led by the Spirit of God. I said, that's not why you call me. Now tell the truth. Okay. How come you don't teach the Ten Commandments? I said, sir, do you have a Bible? I said, if you do, open it up to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, and read it to me. That's why I treat preachers. You know why? Because it's not me. It's Jesus Christ crucified in me, dealing with you people. And he doesn't pet you and tell you how great you are. And he started reading, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. I said, whoa! He stopped. I said, are you righteous? He couldn't answer me. He happened to be a Baptist preacher. He couldn't answer. He said, well, he'd heard me on television, watched me. Well, the Ten Commandments are a good guideline to live by. I said, no, they're not. No, they're not. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Romans, what is that, 8:14? They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, let me just tell all of you, wherever you may be listening to this or viewing this, throughout the world, on live stream, Roku, on all kinds of technical apparatuses that have been developed in the past few years, just for the purposes of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's right. Thank God. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In 1970, January the 2nd, I drove away from 121 Veterinary Hospital that I built in the 60s on 121, about less than a quarter of a mile west of US 75, McKinney, Texas. I drove away. It's almost like I was doing that now. I drove away going east. Hospital was right back here. I looked back over my shoulder. Patty was with me. And I had some water dripping down on my cheek. I looked back and I turned my head back to the east, not knowing where I was going. And though I did, most certainly didn't know I'd end up doing what I'm doing today. But in May of 1970, Springfield, Missouri, we had a house on 2 acres in Springfield. We had a house in McKinney. Kathy, our daughter, hadn't been in school yet, high school. And Patty would stay in McKinney and send her to school, and either her and Kathy would come to Missouri on Friday, or I'd come to Texas. We met every week. But in May of 1970, I was sitting on my couch. Springfield, Missouri, 2 acres looking north, beautiful green lawn. And I asked God a question. I said, who do I get with and who do I follow? And I just reached over and opened my Bible, and there was John 15, 1, right before my eyes. Now, I don't recommend that you be a Bible page flipper. I knew a preacher and he knew a woman, and I knew both of them, and he would call that woman to get a word from God, and that woman would open that Bible and her eyes would fall on a verse of scripture, and she'd say, thus saith the Lord. That woman had faith for nothing except talk. That man and her are both in heaven as far as I know. That's my desire, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and end up with the Lord. Amen. But I read John 15:1, and I think too, Kathy, would you read for me?
Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Well, as I read that, I had a vision. I didn't believe in visions. I didn't want to be a man of visions, because I didn't believe in visions. But I saw a vine. right before my eyes, about 11 o'clock, maybe 11:30 in the morning. There's a watermelon vine. Understand, I just asked God a question. Who do I get with and who do I follow? Now, I have a vision of a watermelon vine. And watermelons on this vine look just like a watermelon vine. It was. And I thought, interesting. You see, you probably find it difficult to believe, but I've always been a pretty sober person. No goosebumps. You ever meet those goosebump people? Ooh, well, the Holy Ghost is running up and down my back. Well, I could tell you the man's name, but I won't. Oh, like this. I thought you're lying. The Holy Ghost operates in the belly. Very sober, me. And that watermelon vine, before my eyes with these watermelons, one of them became a cucumber. I thought, my Lord, that looks like a cucumber on a watermelon vine? What is going on with me? Back in those days, I had some young men working for me at my hospital, and they got to playing around with LSD. And I don't know if I thought it was at this time, but a time or two, I thought, I wonder if one of these little brats put some LSD in my hot tea, and I'm having a flashback. They didn't, that's what they tell me. So now I've got a watermelon vine with watermelon on it and a cucumber. That seemed rather strange to me. Then a watermelon was replaced by a cantaloupe. Now this vine is strange. Understand what that first verse said. I am the what vine?
True.
True vine. You think I didn't get a spiritual lesson that day? May 1970. God knew where I was headed. I didn't. True vine. Well, the fourth change was a watermelon became a strawberry. Is that not incredible? I am the true vine. And I could not believe what I was seeing. I said to God, who do I get with? And who do I follow? And while I was, as my chair didn't hurt it. While I was thinking on this, those various fruit were changed to denomination. Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Church of Christ, I believe. I was stunned. What God was telling me about His church. They were not on the true vine. You see, I was a veterinarian. I also was an animal husbandman. I also knew something about vegetables and fruits and field crops. I never saw such a vine in my life. I am the true vine, he said. Right? And the Father is a husbandman. Is that what that says?
That's what that says.
What's verse 2 say? This is what it got me.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Every branch. Jesus is a true vine. The Father tends the crop. And every branch in Jesus that does not bring forth fruit, he will take it away. Look, folks, you thought you were safe when you went to that silly crusade and walked that aisle and they told you you were now born again, saved, receive Christ or something, and go find you a Bible, go find you a church, a good one. And what they meant, one that supports my ministry with their tithes and offerings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take it away. But every branch, what was it say, is purged?
Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it.
That beareth fruit.
Right. That right. It may bring forth more fruit.
Now, preachers that don't know anything about anything call this pruning. No, it said purge and prune are two different words. You purge what's inside. You prune what's outside. That word purge got me. Because I used to give castor oil to newborn foals that had slow evacuation of their bowels. And those poor little things, but their tummies would gripe, hurt. They'd frown like I do when the same process is going on, grit their teeth. Then I followed that with some mineral oil. I just told some young veterinarians something you might not have learned. Where you're, you know, today it costs much over $100,000 to get a degree in veterinary medicine. They never get out of debt. Everything is geared to maintain salaries for professors. Purge.